And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And I hope it's as beautiful in Boudelier's Point and all over the world as it is here today. It's 54 degrees, the sun is shining, the sky is blue with a little bit of white and a nice light breeze. And we're a happy bunch. And it's supposed to be beautiful all week here, just in case you were thinking of coming to visit. It is almost 3 o'clock here at Coast Community Radio. First, I just want to give a big shout out and thank you to all of you who called in and pledged during the entire week of Pledge Drive. It was a 6.5-day drive, which is the shortest in history. And I can say that definitively because I've been here since the beginning, and it was very nice, and you did call in. A special shout out to Karen and Janet and Cindy and the Faddle family and Issa, Heidi, David Myers Photography, Kate, Carolyn, and Beth, and to Dennis Murphy, who I don't know the man, but he's a great supporter and challenge granter at Coast Community Radio. It's time for Arts Live and Local. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And they were one of the very generous local businesses, along with the Sheltered Nook Bed and Breakfast, the Ship Inn, Pickled Fish Restaurant, Adrift Hotel, Beach Books, Seaside Coffee House, all of whom gave us gifts to give to you and me. And it was fun. And the support for Arts Live and Local comes in part from Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific, published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Daily Astorian, and online at coastweekend.com. Well, we're going to send out a dedication to, although it is Good Friday, and it is supposed to be a time of peace. Not everybody got the message. So we're going to send out special thoughts to those all over the world who are suffering personally, politically, from others, from themselves, whatever it takes. And right here, we have one of the best, in my opinion, the best way to heal, and that is the arts. We've got a full show. I'm going to start right out with some music from an artist who is coming to town on April 3rd. She will be at the Coaster Theater. That's Meredith Clark. She was my guest last week, and she, or 2 weeks ago, last week. And she is going to be singing the entire Joni Mitchell's album, Blue. So you can check that out. And, hey, this is a shout-out to our first guests, because the name of the album, the name of the song is The Last Time I Saw Richard, and you are the lucky folks who are going to hear Richard very shortly. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Thank you. last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68, and he told me all romantics meet the same fate someday. Cynical and drunk and boring someone in some dark cafe. You laugh, he said, you think you're immune. Go look at your eyes, they're full of moon. You like roses and kisses and pretty men to tell you all those pretty lies, pretty lies. When you go to realize they're only pretty lies, only pretty lies, just pretty lies. He put a quarter in the Wurlitzer, and he pushed three buttons, and the thing began to whir. And a barmaid came by in fishnet stockings and a bow tie, and she said, drink up now, it's getting on time to close. Richard, you haven't really changed, I said. It's just that now you're romanticizing some pain.
Well, I didn't know Richard back then, but we know him now. And the Richard I'm talking about, that, by the way, was Meredith Clark singing Joni Mitchell's Blue, and you can catch her at the Coaster Theater on April 3rd. So the Richard I know is sitting right here with us, and that would be Richard Roland. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Carol.
And Richard and Lucian Swerdloff. Hi, Lucian.
Hi, Carol.
They are... These are extremely creative men, but, well, it's a tight studio right here, folks. I have six beautiful artists right here in the studio because Richard and Lucian have curated a show called Thinking Outside the Box, an invitational exhibition with works by artists, designers, and craftspeople. And I'm going to add architects, indigenous artists, photographers, trades folks, and who knows who else. Well, you'll find out in a minute who my six guests are. And the reception for this show is this coming Thursday. That will be March 31st. At the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, and it warms my heart to be able to say that. The show is running from March 31st through April 28th, so it's just 1 month, and I have not seen the artwork yet, and I am befuddled and excited to find out what these artists did. So I'm going to go through them. But first I'm going to ask maybe Lucian, do you want to give us a little bit of a background on this show? What's it about? Where did you guys come up with the idea?
Well, I'll give you
and Richard, pitch in.
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of background, and I think Richard also, sure. And then yeah. We probably want to hear from the artists.
Absolutely.
That's going to be
more interesting. That's what I want you.
It started out with what could be a very simple idea, but as you know, simple ideas get very complicated very quickly, especially when artists are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was to make these wooden boxes, nicely crafted, nice wood boxes, 15 by 15 by 15 inch cubes, which then we gave out to about 30 artists with some very simple rules. So the main rule was that they just had to maintain the boxiness of it, or some aspect of the original form of the box. And that was very loosely defined.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to carve into it, add onto it, paint on it, cut it, burn it, crush it, stomp on it, add stuff to it, put lights in it, and they did all of that. And they did a lot of things that we didn't expect them to do, and even more.
So that
was
cool.
Yeah, so that was really
interesting. Where did the boxes come? Who made the boxes?
The boxes, most of the boxes were made by one of our local carpenters, Colby Lennon, and I made a few of them also. So the idea was to make nicely crafted boxes.
Was the wood soft enough?
It was plywood. They're made out of nice plywood, mitered corners, no metal fasteners, so they were all glued together. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a challenge to do that. But the idea was that this was a well-crafted thing, so people would think about the craft when they got the box and what they would do to it. So before they started punching holes in it and beating it, they had to respect it a little bit.
And you said it was 30?
It was about 30 boxes that we sent out.
And the size of the box?
The boxes are 15-inch cubes.
15-inch cubes.
Okay. Hexahedrons.
Of course. I could have said that.
Yes. and I think one of the things that's interesting about this is that it's a very concrete, basic form. It's a platonic solid. It's one of the, you know, the basic forms, but it's also very abstract because it can represent lots of different things. So that's kind of the beauty of this whole thing, is that you can look at it from both of those viewpoints.
Where did the conception come from? What made you guys even think about doing
this? Let Richard answer that one.
No,
come on in close.
I happened to talk to Lucian. Say, Lucian, how about a genetic swap meet? We'll create the boxes. We'll think outside of the box. And then the platform would be our community and the artist. And so we created 30. Lucian crafted the boxes. And 29 came back. And one is floating from Hawaii right now.
Oh, wow.
And one is coming from California. But I'd rather you hear from the artist. We have them here.
Yes.
They're the reason. They're the diversity and opinion we need, I think, for our community.
Yeah, and I do want to mention that the, well, I know two live here. Where do you live?
I live up on the top of Chehalem Mountain out of Newburgh, Oregon.
Newburgh, okay. And Grace?
I live in outside of Portland Metro.
Okay. So we have locals, and you just heard Hawaii. And I know Lillian Pitt is from Central Oregon.
Correct.
So we have quite a diversity. Obviously, Richard and Lucian put some thought into which artists to bring in. So fantastic. Who wants to go first and try to describe for me what you did and why you did it?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay. Lam Kwang, who is local.
Yeah, my wife and I, we work together. We make lamps. Our work is kind of ephemeral, usually flowers to geometric shape lamps. And it was quite a challenge trying to figure out how to combine this solid box, fairly heavy compared to artwork, and trying to combine that with our work.
And you use hand make your paper for your lamps as well.
Yes, we handmade the paper. And I mean, the whole process is all done by hand.
So what did you, how did you?
Well, it was kind of a, not really a fight, but it was a back and forth between my wife and I trying to figure out how to, trying to come up with the idea. And she would come up with, I came up with some ideas, she didn't like it. And then she came up with another idea that I looked at and was like, there's no way I could possibly make that work. You know, went back and forth a few times, and then I finally was like, forget it. I'm just gonna go out in the studio and see what happens. And actually went with more of her idea, which is kind of Noguchi inspired geometric shape that combine. It's sort of like two giant pumpkins sandwiched in the box.
Wait a minute.
Lit up. So that's
okay. Wait a minute. I got a box. I got a cube here. What do you mean two pumpkins? Where inside the box? Would you open the box and
no? It's in between the two giant kind of pumpkin shape that's on one on the bottom holding the box. The box is turned up to a corner.
Okay.
And then the other time one sits on top. Actually, when you turn it up to a corner, the corner actually turned into a triangle shape. And so I had to come up with a triangular shape that actually fit in on top of the box. So it just basically slides right on into the corners.
So you added to the box with these,
two shapes.
Okay. See why you're going to have to come to the show, folks. I mean, whoa. And then where did you put the lights? In the additions?
There's a light.
In the
Lights come out of the box.
Coming
so from the top and the bottom. So there's
Oh my.
The both ends are lit.
Oh my. Okay. And I'm wondering how this is even going to be displayed, because what do you... does it hang?
No, it's sitting on a table or a pedestal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it fun? Once you and Kestrel stopped fighting over this, was it fun?
It was quite a fun process. I really loved this process because it opened up a whole different avenue of work that I normally don't think about. So, yeah.
Nice.
I love collaborating and coming up with something totally new to our formal work.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, who wants to... You want to go, Tim? Tim Peitsch. That's okay.
Let's see. You're familiar with my work. It's usually figurative. And then...
Drawings.
Yeah. With with the shape of the box, it kind of led me in a direction of using a grid pattern and bringing the portraiture out of a grid pattern and using that. Just so keep coming out of the continuing, like Richard had... and Lucian, it started out with the idea of outside of the box, and then I just continued that box pattern through the portraiture. So that was my,
And the portraits are humans or birds or
These are humans.
These are humans. Yeah. Okay.
And people, and then on the top of the box, so I did four sides of the box. Mine sits on a pedestal, so I did four sides of the box, and then the top of the box is a geometric painting that I did that is of a Robert Adams photograph.
Oh my! So you did you project the photograph on there?
I just
held it as a model.
Yeah.
Okay, completely different, two completely different images here. And so for you, at least it was a surface that you could work on, as opposed to what Lam was just talking about. It's completely different kind of material.
Yeah, for me, I used it just as the thing that I had to just brought me together with the with it being a cube was and three-dimensional, and usually I'm two-dimensional, three-dimensional work, and was just tying those together in some way. And so that was probably stylistically is how I really tied them together mostly.
So it sounds as though what Lucian said did work so far, and I bet it worked for everybody, is you get this thing and it's so well done, you really stop and think about it, just, okay, throw something on it. It was a challenge. Yeah. Grace, let's hear a woman's voice in here.
Okay. Well, I'm normally a figurative painter and a collage artist, and so this was a challenge for me because I'm getting something that's three-dimensional, already structured. So I just, I painted on it. It didn't seem to come together for the first whole month. And then finally I just started thinking about the idea of a box. And over the last couple of years, my mother, who is immigrant Japanese, she has been sending me her kimonos. I'm her only girl.
Oh.
So she's been sending me her remnants of kimonos and some of the Japanese wares that she had and I saw growing up, and woodblock prints and so forth. So I thought of the storage box in which she put these things. She kept them in a box and took them out on special occasions. So I started really looking at the what was on the kimonos and what was on some of the ones that she dressed me in when I was a little girl. And I noticed one had a phoenix on it, phoenix. So and I hadn't known until very recently, because of this project, that when a girl child is born, a phoenix, they bring the child to the Shinto temple at three different ages, from about 3 years old on, and presents to the priest with this on.
Oh,
and I thought, what a perfect timing for me to discover this. Some of the symbolism on all the kimonos were very particular to each occasion, including my mother's wedding. I have some of the white. So the box contains textiles, Japanese textiles from my family. And then on the outside, I carved the entire box, all sides, like a woodblock print. And the imagery is of my mother's garden. She had an amazing garden that I grew up in. And really, I'm just trying to incorporate all these things from her and from myself into this one thing. So it's all carved like a woodblock print.
And it's only 15.
Well, yeah, it's a lot on it. It's sort of like some of the wares that she had were put into a traditional box, like a tea bowl would be kept in a box. So I had my husband, Steve, make a little slot so the rope goes through because mm-hmm. they're wrapped with a rope.
Right.
And so that's in there. It's all carved, and inside I took some of the images that were on the kimonos and made them into three-dimensional flowers. So inside is filled with flowers on top of the textiles, and then there's a porcelain deer on the inside. So it's sort of like a shrine because mm-hmm. the lid is up in, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the little child's kimono and then all the fabric and the deer. It's a lot, and all the flowers.
And your mother has passed.
No, she hasn't.
She is alive.
Right now, we're kind of in this process of her writing her story down because she's not shared much of her experience in Tokyo while it was being bombed. And it's a long story. And I've inherited the journals of my grandmother who was there that I'm named after. So I literally have my grandmother's story, but I don't have my mother's story. So she's finally writing it down. So it's all tied together.
And she lives where?
She lives in Florida.
Okay. So have you been sharing all of this with her? Or is this going to be
a
surprise?
Yes, she is thrilled.
I bet she is.
That these things are being, reinvigorated mm-hmm, in a sense. And, mm-hmm. and stories are told through. Because she's always told me to tell my story. And I've always encouraged her to tell her story.
So now you're
so
telling
now
hers.
So now we're kind of doing it together.
Yeah, yeah. And so this project, this thinking outside the box now has gone way beyond you even and way beyond this
Absolutely.
Community. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And my last, Jan Shield, I tell us about what you do and then what you did for this.
I do a lot of painting and sculpture, and normally I paint fairly scenic-oriented work and sometimes figurative work, and then kind of do some humorous sculptural kind of things and show at Riversea and Fairweathers. And this idea that they came up with thinking outside the box seemed to me to make me want to do a thinking piece. A piece that required a lot of thinking about sort of sitting outside just looking at the stars, and I noticed this, you know, the light, and so I figured, well, I'm just going to paint this box black after I sand it about 5 times. And then I drilled a number of holes in it so that there's light coming out, and then the evolution of it kind of occurred from sort of my first memories. Like my first memory, I think, was my dad had designed this sort of Frank Lloyd Wright house, and they had like 8 thermopane windows in it. And when I was 2, a cow looked in the window.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I got on the phone, and we looked up the fact that there's 77 million cattle in the U.S. And then I thought, well, this is pretty weird because I had this, I'd done this painting of a buffalo. And so I looked up, and there used to be 3 million buffalo in around 1800. And in 2 years, there were only 1,000 left.
Yeah.
Wow. So it kind of caught me by surprise. Mm. And so this whole box project has to do with an evolution of thought and my experiences from different points and into kind of a contemporary reality of, you know, what takes 1.6 tons of water and materials to make one computer. So there's some relationships to various kinds of experiences and into the current.
Wow. Did you, Lucian and Richard, did you have any idea how, and this is just 4 of the 30 artists who are involved in this project, did you expect this kind of diversity and incredibleness?
You know, trying to get 30, 29 artists together on one evening. Also, the artists are really the best, I think, in our community. I didn't expect that kind of quality in that kind of story.
Stories.
Freedom. The freedom they have is all our freedom.
Yes. Yes. And good point. You gave something with freedom right on it, but the stories that we've heard just here, each one is really profound. So
I think we tried to make it a point not to expect anything, because we didn't.
That's the best.
You know, we talked about it a few times, but then we figured we shouldn't be doing that. We're just going to send the boxes out and let people do their thing with them. And that's what happened. And the variety is incredible.
Extraordinary.
You know, this is just four of them.
Right.
And
right.
There's no two alike.
Not even close to alike. That's the amazing part. So
and as far as we can tell, they all respected the one little rule that we had.
Oh, well, could you remind us what was the rule?
Even though Jan tried not to. Well, the rule was just to maintain at least some form of the original box, so that it was apparent in some sense.
So someone could tell it somewhere in the history there was. Okay. Wow, I'm even more excited now, and I'm feeling I have a lot to think about too, because you brought in many different worlds: the environmental, the historical, the genealogical. And the material itself, the wood, and then, of course, the light. It sounds like from the beginning and the end, we've got the light from inside coming of different sorts. Okay, folks, if you live anywhere nearby or you were planning on coming, the show will be up through April 28th. So, needless to say, after listening to these six people in the studio, the funnest time to come is at the opening, which will be Thursday evening at 6 p.m. at the Royal Nebucher Art Center, Art Gallery. It's 1799 Lexington. Basically, you go, well, I don't know what you do these days because they're doing work up there, but you get yourself up there to the gallery. There is a detour. If you come up 16th, the detour will guide you and will let you know how to get there. Walk if you have to, but get to this show, Thinking Outside the Box. And now I'm going to have to add inside and outside the box, considering what's been told here. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing this with us, and for putting on this fantastic show, an invitational exhibit. Artists, designers, craftspeople, architects, indigenous artists, photographers, tradesmen. We have 29 to 30 pieces of art, depending on whether the Hawaii Oregon airline comes through. And my guests today were Jan Shield, Grace Sanchez, Tim Peitsch, Lam Kwong, Richard Rowland, and Lucian Swerdloff for Thinking Outside the Box. Obviously, they all do. And you can, too, whoever you are out there. Try it yourself. See what you come up with. You may not have as pretty a box to start with, but after hearing all this, I bet there are some inspirations going on. So thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Wow. So I have some music for you from Jamie Leopold and the Short Stories. They're going to be at the Fort George on Sunday. And stay tuned. Got lots more coming up right here on Coast Community Radio, KMUNS, Storia 91.9, KTCB, Tillamook.
Life and death in a small little Spanish town called Granada.
I watched over you as you tossed
nights in Granada about the love we shared, about the days when you were still mine, mi amor. Still mine, but that's all gone, my love. Like dust with the dawn. All that's left is a pale glow from an unlucky charm. Gypsy said our luck would change, flying too close to the sun. Said one of us would not return. She never said which one. Oh, you, baby, you. It was about those nights in Granada, about the love we shared, about the days when you were still mine, still mine, mi amor, still mine.
That's Jamie Leopold and the Short Stories, and they will be at the Fort George on Sunday. And right now, I have a couple of folks who are making yet another fabulous event happen. And this is actually the fifth annual. Is that right? Fifth annual. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Wonderful. This is Get Lit at the Beach, and that means the LIT stands for Literature.
That's right.
I know, I was a little fooled the first time I saw that. I wasn't sure what I was doing. But I went, and I loved it. It was wonderful. As a matter of fact, I copied down a quote from Ursula Le Guin. Get Lit at the Beach is the best party I ever went to. Not too shabby.
No.
And I was there the year that she was the speaker as well, which was wonderful. Okay, so this is a gathering for readers, and I'm going to let my guests, Tracy Abel and Watt Childress. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
And Watt.
Hello.
Good to have you here. From the Tolovana Arts Colony, which is the sponsoring group, and then they have lots and lots of people in the community who help out with that. But there are four authors, well, three authors, and then your Saturday night speaker. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us about that? This is coming up on April 8th. It's the 8th through the 10th, and there's a Friday night event, and then Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday evening, and then Sunday, and you can take part in all or parts of it. If you can, I highly recommend jumping in there and just enjoying the whole weekend. It becomes a real community, is the way I felt about it. So tell us now the details. How did it start, and who's coming this year, and who are they?
Well, I think you used the key word there, Carol, community. You really do feel like when you attend this event that you've mm-hmm. been immersed in a community of people who love to read, love to find out how stories are shaped, how they're shared, and every year we've been just amazed by the participation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four authors this year: Terry Brooks, Elizabeth Engstrom, Jonathan Evison, and Jess Walter. And all of these authors are renowned, best-selling, have had film or television treatments of their work or mm-hmm. in process for doing that. Not that that necessarily determines great writing, but, I mean, in this case, it's justified. And Tracy, you want to say a little bit about the way the event flows for folks that may not be familiar
and
with it?
Also, I know Terry Brooks lives on the coast. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where do the other three hail from? Are they?
So Elizabeth lives in Eugene.
Okay.
And Jonathan lives in Squim, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess lives in Spokane.
Okay.
So all
okay.
Northwest
authors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, let us know how this works. And maybe you can give us a little bit of, I remember one year that there was somebody who I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to read her books because they were too scary. But she was a was a delightful speaker. But and there were people there just couldn't get there enough of it. And I'm going like, no, I don't think so. I can tell you're a good writer, but I think that's the problem. If you're a good writer, it's going to give me nightmares, so I don't.
But you enjoyed her talk.
Oh, I loved her talk. And that's why I said community, because we, in between, everybody was talking to each other, and mm-hmm. people were buying books and then sharing, and, oh, you like that one? You should get this one. You know, mm-hmm. this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. People were all coming together, so.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think that's unique about this event. Often you go to maybe a reading or a signing, you're kind of hustled in, you're forced to buy a book, you sort of get it signed, and then you have 30 seconds, and then you're shuffled out.
Mm-hmm.
And with our event, you have four different mm-hmm. opportunities really to get to know the authors. The reception on Friday night, and then we have the author readings on Saturday morning and afternoon. And after the authors do their talk, then we do have about a 30-minute book signing. Mm-hmm. So everybody has a chance to ask questions or...
And the authors, and I'm sure these are the same, are very forthcoming. They take the time. You can share your own stories with... I mean, it's really, you know, that's a good comparison going mm-hmm. to a... we're very happy that our bookstores... mm-hmm. We have a proprietor here right now, actually, mm-hmm. Are here and offer mm-hmm. these. But this is, like, delicious
right.
because you really get in-depth time.
Right.
So with the book reading, what do you have? Two authors reading in the morning and then one in the afternoon? Is that how it's going to work?
Correct. Okay. And then the keynote on Saturday evening, which will be Jess Walter this year.
Who is he? I don't know.
Jess wrote Beautiful Ruins and also the poet, I'm sorry, the...
Financial Lives of
the
Poets,
poet.
Mm-hmm. And also The Zero, which I'm reading right now, which mm-hmm. is in Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's
contemporary
it's,
book. For
yes.
Sure. And that is, am I right, that's after the dinner or before? When do
the keynote speakers,
the keynotes
after the dinner,
after
on,
the dinner.
On Saturday night.
The
mm-hmm.
fabulous dinner that is yeah. served as part yeah. of this. And by the way, we don't give prices here, but let me tell you, unless the price has tripled,
no.
It's extremely reasonable, mm-hmm. extremely reasonable for this event. It sounds like it should be a lot more. So check it. But should people go to the website to learn more about it or what?
That would be a good way of doing it. They could go to TelavanaArtsColony.org or the Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
Which is...
It's basically, we also, let's see, our Facebook page is Get Lit at the Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So you just type that in mm-hmm. and our Facebook page will come
oh,
up.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then also registration is getlitatthebeach.eventbrite.com. Mm-hmm. That gives some more details also.
Okay.
If you register, you get it. You begin on Friday evening. You can come to an open reception, and that's your chance to first meet and greet the authors. So you're getting introduced to them on Friday evening, and then throughout the day on Saturday, you have the chance to come back and continue the conversation,
right.
Hear more from them.
Is it true, though, people can come to just one or two
yes.
of the events,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
they can come? As I say, I recommend the whole thing, but if
yeah.
you can't do that, at least drop in because...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just remembering little tidbits of my of several of my because I went for several years, and,
mm-hmm.
Including when at Ursula Le Guin, when she was there, I was sitting at a table at the dinner, and two of the people at the table had flown in from cross country specifically for this event, and in their cases, to see Ursula Le Guin. And so what a wonderful opportunity, because they knew this wasn't just a walk in and walk out. Mm-hmm. They got to hang out, and she's a kick in the pants. Yeah. We all know that. So tell us a little bit about the other authors then.
Well, Jonathan Evason just finished This Is Your Life, Harriet Chance, and he also wrote The Fundamentals of Caregiving, which is now being made into a movie. It was at Sundance, actually, this year.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So what kinds of, for those people who aren't familiar with the titles, is it like, you know, sometimes it might, like I was saying about Chelsea King, too scary for me. And then, of course, Garth's. My heart throb, you know.
Heart racing in the rain. How would you explain?
Well, the keynote speaker, I mean, I've read two of Jess's books now. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually halfway into the second one, mm-hmm. and I would describe them as they're literary, and I don't say that to scare anybody off, because some folks, when they hear literary, they think, well, it's going to be kind of boring. It's right. not mm-hmm. at all. It just means that he weaves the words together mm-hmm. in a very seasoned and deliberate way, that when, as the story unfolds, you see layers beneath mm-hmm. the surface, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, he's telling multiple stories at mm-hmm. one time. And I'm really excited to hear him speak.
How did you choose these folks?
Well, we have a committee, a group of us that meet all year long, basically, mm-hmm. and talk about, you know, what we think that, you know, people might want to hear. Mm-hmm. Or,
so everybody suggests different names, and you kind of...
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. And then, you know, Terry, obviously, as an author, has met several of these authors.
Sure.
And then we just put the ask out and hope that mm-hmm. they'll be able to do it.
Right. And Terry Brooks is... delightful.
Yes.
I only have met him through Get Lit at the Beach, but I know he's around, and again, very accessible. The folks sit with you at dinner, and you get to ask questions and share, and it just feels, it brings it home how literature happens, and then why we might be inspired again to be part of that. So let's name the authors again, so people, if they would like to, can look them up and see for themselves who they are.
Sure. So Terry Brooks, Elizabeth Engstrom.
How do you spell Elizabeth Engstrom?
Yeah, Engstrom.
Okay.
Jonathan Evason and Jess Walter.
Okay. Okay.
And then we should say that on Sunday, just to kind of continue with the weekend, something very unique happens, because, like, on Saturday we hear from each individual author. On Sunday, we hear from all of them on stage at Coaster Theater. And that part of the weekend is free.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So that's unique, because the questions can come from the audience.
Or from each other.
And then you'll see... sometimes some debate, which is a healthy thing, you
neat.
Know.
Oh, I love this. And it's probable that they didn't all know each other before.
Many times,
this is an opportunity to see how their minds and thoughts come together. So that's at the Coaster, 10 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. at the Coaster. Friday is at the Chamber of Commerce, 5 to 7, and that is a ticketed, but you can get tickets there, probably.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, and Saturday all day, is at the Surf Sand.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is in Cannon Beach. This is another one of those fabulous Cannon Beach offerings. Cannon Beach is so rich with artistic events of all sorts, you know, the music and the theater and the literature and the yoga. So all comes around. What else do we need to know about this?
Well, you know, it just, by the time you get done with the weekend, you have had a chance to continue a conversation. It's, I think Tracy said it really well, when you go to a a book signing, mm-hmm. you have maybe a minute mm-hmm. to speak with an author that you really love their work. And this is very different because you have a chance to come back to them and revisit mm-hmm. questions, pick things up over the course of the weekend, see
It's developing ideas. A relationship, actually.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity also to tell authors that you appreciate their work mm-hmm. because I'm not sure that often, you know, authors
Good point.
Get yep. to hear what a book maybe means to somebody right. or something they wrote
right. Right.
hit them or...
Right. Well, I highly recommend it. Now, this is the Tolovana Arts Colony. Do you still have other classes that are happening through?
We do. Yeah. In fact, that's really starting to kick into high gear.
Okay. So people need to go to your website for sure to see what you're offering.
Yes.
And that's ToLovanaArtsColony.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will say, because our new program coordinator said, asked me that if I had a chance to plug it, there is a workshop this weekend,
oh.
in fact, for self-publishing. If folks are interested
yes.
in self-publishing,
yes.
that Saturday, it's from 1 tomorrow, from 1 to 3 at Tolovana Hall. So if folks are interested in that, they can find out more about that at the workshop, at the website as well.
Tolovana Hall. Yeah, I saw that, and it sounded excellent because it said something ridiculous like, you can publish books for like 30 cents a piece or something. It was really, I went, what? But it said, yeah. Nowadays, with the web and self-publishing and all of this, you can learn how to do it. Wow, that's fantastic. So my brain didn't remember that was part of Tolovana Arts uh-huh. Colony.
That's one example, but there's many that we're coming up with classes and workshops. So we look forward to expanding that.
And we should give a shout out to the two guys who started the Tolovana Arts
Absolutely.
Colony, two of our great buddies, Uncle Mike. yeah. And Reverend Billy,
yeah.
Billy Holtz and Mike Burgess, two extraordinary human beings who used to come here every year and talk about what was going on and joke around. And sadly, they both left us way too early, but they also left great legacies
right. Still
for the arts
in
community.
Spirit.
Absolutely, yeah. including the Upper Left Edge, which right. I think Watt is. So much to talk about, folks. Go to the ToLovanaArtsColony.org for a start, and then take it from there. Thank you so much for coming in, Tracy
Thanks.
Abel. What's your job there?
I'm the treasurer on the board.
And what?
I'm the chair.
Okay, of the Tolovana Arts Colony. Tell them you heard them here on Coast Community Radio. Thanks so much for coming
Thank you,
in.
Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
I'm going to put on a little bit of music, and then I have my last guest coming in, and he's going to be fun. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio. Three for Silver playing and one of my new favorite groups. I seem to like those threes, Three Leg Torso, Three for Silver. They're going to be playing at the Sou'Wester on a Saturday night. So I do want to just remind you that tonight the Coaster is featuring Apple Tree, Friday and Saturday, 7:30, the Barn Community Playhouse, Nothing Serious. Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and the Hoffman has the indie film Lessons of Basketball and War, and then on Tuesday they have an extraordinary Sparky and Rhonda Rutter, and they are blues and storytelling and spirituals and Appalachian music. Whoa, they look fantastic. Adrift has Faint Peter Friday and Saturday, and he's going to be on Saturday Crossroads with Todd tomorrow, so listen in. And then on Sunday, the lead from that is going to be playing Joseph De Natale. And Macbeth Off Kilter is at Gray's River School Friday and Saturday, and Paint and Sip at Fairweather House and Grill. Troll Radio tomorrow. Don't miss Troll Radio. It's upstairs at the Fort George with Brad Griswold and Dave Quinton, Marianne Ullipelto, my all-time favorite name, the Troll Radio house band, and Queen of Radio Debbie Twombly is back in town. And Micah White, the co-creator of Occupy Wall Street, it will be at Cloud and Leaf Bookstore, Sou'wester, Three for Silver, Bay City Art Center, John Stowell, Sweet Basil's, Jackson Andrews. Seaside has a benefit for Sergeant Gooding's family, Sand Dune, Ramble On, and the Battle of the Robots. And also Saturday night is my next guest, and so let's bring him on. He needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. Marco, hi.
Hey. How are you, Carol?
I'm well. I've just been overstimulated by all these things going on, and you are going to continue that, I know.
I know, right? Oh, it's crazy. While you were reading all that, I'm like, well, gosh, and we're just like getting going. There's something going on every weekend.
Well, and you have something going on tomorrow night, which is totally extraordinary, the Caravan of Glam. Mm-hmm. And it's at the Astoria Events Center. This is 21 and over, with good reason. And and the door opens at 7, I understand, and the show at 9.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's I just jotted down a few things. The drag, burlesque, acrobats, comedians, live singers, gymnasts, sideshow performers, and dance and costuming, which was totally amazing. And Portland's own GLBTQ cabaret group. So tell us, Marco, where did these guys come from? Women and men.
Yeah. Well, they're out of Portland, and Justin Buckles, the producer, contacted me about a month ago saying that they're coming to town, and they travel to like the Western 12 states and do these shows. Last year, they were flown out to be on America's Got Talent.
I heard. Right? Yes, I saw. Actually, I watched the clip. It was fun. People were going nuts.
Oh my gosh! Well, they look so impressive, and
they are.
They're impressive.
That,
I mean,
that one man.
Oh, I know.
Dances,
I
just, right? Did you know
seriously?
Holy moly! I watched that several times. I was so blown away. Yeah.
And it's very exciting, and I think that it's such a wonderful opportunity for us to get to have that, and we have such a big. A fun community here, you know, with all the Dragolution stuff that we've done.
Absolutely.
This is going to be our fourth year.
I think you have done a fabulous job, Marco, of warming up, educating, opening hearts and minds to the possibilities of living life to the fullest and the funnest, and also creatively. And so...
It's essential.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we do this. I know I said all the time, but you planted that seed in me.
Oh.
You know, it's just like, and it's just really exciting.
Yeah.
And so when Justin contacted me, he said that they always reach out to towns that they're going to see if there's somebody that would come in and kind of co-host and perform and stuff. So
and you said, well, I have this friend. Daylight comes. She's ready.
Yes. And so Daylight's going to co-host and do a couple of numbers. And
oh, wow.
I'm bringing in Terry Yucky and Zora Backdora and Gingivitis to perform one of the numbers with Daylight as well. So,
well, now tell me, the folks from the Caravan of Glam, Are they professional performers? Some of them obviously
yeah,
are.
Yeah, they have a cast of 40, and they kind of rotate through, and the performers live everywhere between Seattle and San Francisco. And so depending on what, from what I gather, what shows they're doing, they kind of bring in the performers. But as we know, with most things, as a performer, you really do have other jobs.
You know. Yeah, you usually have a day job to support your fun.
Two or three.
Two or three, right. But they were quite amazing professional.
Yeah.
So
It's got my butterflies spinning a little bit in my stomach. Ooh. I'm like, oh, I hope they like me.
You know, you may become part of the troupe, too. Well, that's part of, you know, in the past, we've seen some of the music groups. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that I didn't mention on Tuesday, North Oregon Coast Symphony is playing at the Cannon Beach Church. And many of our group, and poetry, by the way, at the Port of Call, but many of our groups have tried to bring in young people to things. Now, in this particular one, there is a 21 age limit. Mm-hmm. But even so, the idea of having people who do travel, have shown their stuff on America's Got Talent, et cetera. And then you're bringing in, I consider you also a professional because you, in the world of everything, so many worlds, actually. But some of your team are not. And you have been teaching, and they do all kinds of other things, but they have grown up. And so now, for them to have the opportunity to work with this this group is very exciting.
We were actually talking about that at rehearsal last week, you know, just how this is a great opportunity for us to be able to step a little beyond our comfort zone and really own who we are, you know, and it's kind of what I always tell my students or, you know, my family members, the Combs family, that that the thing is that we should always push, we should always strive to perfect our craft, you know, and as performance artists, you have to think of it in this kind of three-dimensional realm, and that it's a lot more broad than you would think. Mm-hmm. And so to take the chances, like, we have to get over the fear of being seen making mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think it's like something that's just plaguing this world right now. We'd never want to be seen making mistakes. Right. And that's where we're fully living, is that moment. Like when you're walking down the street and you trip, and it's that one moment where you smile brightly because it's just like, oh yeah, I was being real in a moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does open doors and gives you the opportunity to grow constantly.
So true.
I love this because my first guests were the artists who are doing the show Thinking Outside the Box. And this is certainly...
Definitely outside of the box.
Certainly outside the box. It's a fantastic opportunity for... locals to catch this show. It's happening tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Now, do people need to get tickets in advance?
They can. Go to brownpapertickets.com.
Okay.
I think the event center may be selling them also, but then you can get them at the door.
Hopefully
as well.
There will be some at the door, although it would be nice to sell out. And this is worthy. I think you... Well, you may have been too young then. I'm not sure. When we had Darcel bring a group to town many years ago, and there was a lot, and this was before anyone was willing to admit anything.
Right.
And there was a line up around the corner for people who wanted to go see the show. Here we are, 2016. We have this incredible opportunity, the Caravan of Glam. You can check it out online, caravanofglam.com. And I recommend that because I thoroughly enjoyed seeing some of the videos from that. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. People don't have to dress up for this.
No, but, you know, it's like I always tell people, we should always give a good showing of our community. And we know that we do love to dress up in this town. So why not?
There you go. This is another opportunity. But don't let that stop you.
No.
And do come and join us at the Astoria Events Center, which is on the corner of, it's right on 9th Street between Commercial and Marine. It's the old well, it's the old everything.
Yeah.
But it's
it was the old Eagles.
The
right?
old Eagles, yeah. But that's been so long
so
now.
Long.
I'm thinking, you know, and again, the door opens at 7:00. The show is at 9:00. Do you know why the door opens at?
Apparently, they're going to be around for food, and they're going to be the cast is going to be there for photographs and mingling and visiting. So you get kind
wonderful.
Of get to know, yeah.
Wonderful.
And it's a very interactive show. They
well,
say.
And I read. I'm not sure if that's our show, but 24 acts. So, you know, it's a couple of hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be packed with fun and gorgeous. And I'm telling you, the dancing I saw was extraordinary.
Yeah.
This, you know, yeah. So do join. Thank you so much, Marco Davis.
Thank you, Carol.
Daylight comes and good luck. Oh,
yes.
Break a leg.
Break
or,
a leg,
yes,
darling.
Break a leg.
Break a leg.
Okay, okay, folks. Tune in to... just wanted to let you know that John Stoll is going to be at the Cannon Beach History Center tonight at 7 p.m. And he's also at the Bay City Arts Center workshop at 1 to 4, 7 o'clock concert tomorrow. This is his music, and it is time for us to move on. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org. Thanks for being here. Make peace.